Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today's program is going to be just a little bit out of the ordinary. We're going to go back and look at a show that we recorded in 1995. It's probably been the most requested tape that we ever produced. And it's called I Am the Potter, You Are the Clay. And you're going to see Pastor Brock with hair, so be prepared if you've never seen this show.
I was good looking once.
So sit back and enjoy the show, and then we'll talk at the end.
Well, the 10 steps of making a piece of pottery. Step number one, I go to the store and I buy the clay. Because if I don't have any clay, I can't make any pottery. But once I buy the clay, it's my clay, and I can make out of this whatever I like, because I own it. And that's the first thing in God's step of making pottery, too. God owns the clay. So God can make of us whatever he wants. You might not like your nose, but he has the right to make your nose exactly the size he wants. This comes from Romans chapter 9, where Paul is teaching about predestination. Romans chapter 9 is one of the more difficult chapters in the Bible. Paul teaches that God is the potter, and he can do what he wills with the clay. He can choose to save somebody before they're born. That's called predestination. He has the right to choose people and save people. He also has the right to damn people. And Paul sees that someone's going to complain. He says, now somebody's going to say, then how is that fair? For God, who can resist God's will? And Paul's response is, who are you to talk back to God? The clay doesn't talk to the potter. The potter has the right to do whatever he wants to with the clay. He can make one lump for his glory. He can make another lump for destruction. So the first thing we do is we buy the clay and we own it, and then we can do whatever we will with it. God has the same right with us. Second step in making a piece of pottery is before I take the clay, I purpose what I'm going to make out of it. Am I going to make this into a bowl or a mug or a pitcher or a plate? And for you today, I'm going to make a vase. And you know, God does the same thing. First of all, he owns us and can do as he wills. Second thing, this is called predestination again. He has a purpose for you before you're ever born. He knows before you're born that he has a special meaning and purpose for your life that nobody else can fulfill, and he creates you for that purpose. So number one, he owns the clay. Number two, we set in mind what our purpose is going to be. Third step is called wedging. Now, this is just right out of the bag, and it still has imperfections in the clay, inconsistencies, air bubbles. So I have to pound, they call wedge, the clay. And I have to pound this for a while till I get all the imperfections out. Otherwise it's too hard to work with on the wheel. And that's what God does. You and I have sins, we have imperfections, and so God has to pound on us. And he pounds on us, and it's a good thing he pounds on us. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 that God disciplines those whom he loves, and if you're really God's child, he'll discipline you. But it's a good thing he does. It says in Hebrews 12, he pounds us or disciplines us for our good, that we might share his glory. And I heard a pastor say recently, we Christians need a lot of discipline because we're such unruly children. So God does that. He pounds on us and wedges us until we're ready and free of some of the crud to be put on his wheel. All right? So we own the clay. We decide what we're going to make. We're going to make a vase. We wedge the clay to get rid of the imperfections. And the next step is called centering. I take the clay and I put it in the middle of the bat on the potter's wheel. Now look at the clay here. It's not centered. See how it bumps my finger? Can you see? All right. If I tried to pull the clay up and make a base out of it now, it would fly all over the wheel and it wouldn't work. The first thing I have to do is get this as centered as I can. So I wet my hands and I press the clay, but it's still not centered. See how it bumps my finger? It's not completely centered. So I keep squeezing until it's right in the middle and totally centered. It's almost there. And you see, let's see here. It's not bumping my finger anymore. It is centered. And that's what God does with us. The next step is we have to be centered in God. That means Jesus has to be Lord of my life. He has to be in control of my life. He has to be the center. If he isn't, things in your life won't go right. Things will fall apart. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, get centered in God first, and then all these things will be added unto you. So if you haven't done that, if you haven't said, Jesus, I come to you, and I ask you to be Lord of my life and in control of my life, and I want you to be the center, the most important thing of my life. If you haven't done that, you need to do that now, and you need to do it first. Otherwise, your life won't go well. All right, so we've owned the clay. We have decided we're going to make a vase. We pounded the clay. Now we've centered the clay. The next step is to stretch the clay, pouring water over it. And if you can see this, here's my wet sponge. I need to keep a lot of water in this. And I'm going to open up the clay with my finger and then pull it across the bottom, making a little floor for the vase on the very bottom. But I have to use lots of water, because if the sides of the pot get too dry, my finger catches and I wreck it. So I have to keep pouring lots of water on this pot and keep it nice and wet to stretch it. And that's the next thing God does for us. The Bible says that when you're baptized, God pours water over you. And that water, he gives us the third person of the Trinity, himself. God himself, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you when you're water baptized. The reason he has to do that is because without water, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll never get stretched to be the person God wants us to be. So let's keep doing that. Let's keep using the water of God's Holy Spirit. And bit by bit, he normally doesn't do it overnight, but bit by bit, the Holy Spirit turns us and stretches us into the person he wants us to be. When we've gotten the piece stretched as high as we need it to be, we go to the next step. The next step is called designing. Now, I don't like that as is. I want to make it prettier than that. So let me design it. First of all, let me cut some of the extra off of the bottom with this tool here. I take this little pin tool and I cut off the extra crud at the bottom, and I throw the extra crud into my slop bucket over here to be recycled later with the extra clay. I just throw it away, but I reuse that clay. And then I don't like the ridges here, the finger marks. Some people like that on their pottery, but I don't normally. So I take this instrument called the rib and I pull it across to get rid of most of those finger marks. And I could stop there, but that's kind of blah to me, so I want to make it a better design. So I'll get the top nice and wet again. And then I'm going to squeeze it and make it a small-necked vase. And then I get my fingers wet again, and I pull it up. Doing what is called designing. And that is the next thing God does. You know, it says in Psalm 139 that God knit you together. He designed you in your mother's womb. And do you know that there's no two pieces of pottery that are exactly alike? And do you know that there's no two snowflakes that are exactly alike? There's no two set of fingerprints that are exactly alike? There's no two human beings that are exactly alike. God created you exactly the way you are, and he has a special purpose for you. Nobody else on this planet has just the purpose for which God created you. So as I design this piece of pottery, know that God also designs us. Now, I could be done with it there, but I want to make it even a little more designed. So I stop the wheel, and I take what they call slip. This is colored clay. And what I will do is make a little design here by holding it up. And we will go like this. Let's see here. Let me get this a little bit wet, a little bit drier. Here's the piece of pottery. And I'm going to use this little thing. Some moms, you might use these for, I don't know what they use them for, to get the stuff out of your kids' nose or ears. But we use them for pottery. We do this. We do this. We do this. We do this. All right. And now I'm going to do some a little more as far as decorating goes. Out of some sponge, I carved a little flower design. These are called stamps. And I take this little sponge, and here's some gray slip, and I dip it into the slip, and now I can stamp a bunch of flowers onto this little vase that I made. And so I think we'll put a flower there and there. And there, and whatever. Later I'll go back and redo them and erase what I don't like. But there is my piece of pottery, and it's specially designed, and I can't make an exact other piece like it. Then, after I've designed, the next step is trimming. Now, see, the bottom of this is very thick still. And you wouldn't want to use this vase because it's just too heavy. So what I do is I put it to the side and I dry it for a while. And then when it's leather hard dry, I trim it. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to trim a bowl for you. This is a bowl I made about a couple hours ago. And see, here's the bowl that I made. But again, it's too thick on the bottom. You wouldn't want to use this bowl. The more I can trim off this bowl, the lighter the bowl, the better the vessel. So what I do is I put it back on the potter's wheel, turn it upside down, and I'm going to trim this bowl. And that's the next thing God does with us, too. Each one of us can kind of get spiritually heavy. We can get kind of lethargic. We can get too caught up in things of the world. And we'll accrue these things that are not pleasing to God, and He says to us, would you let me trim that away? And so I take my trimming tool, and I trim away all the extra on the bottom. And that's going to make for a much lighter bowl, a much better bowl for you to hold. I take these cutting tools, and I cut away all the excess so that we'll have a great bowl when we're done. And God says to you, can I cut away your excess? Those areas where you're not living for me. Maybe you watch too much TV. Whatever your problem is, God says, can I trim that away from you? And the Christians that allow Him to do it, those Christians that allow God to cut more and more off of them for His glory, those are the Christians that He uses the most for His kingdom. So you're going to be trimmed as you grow in your Christian faith, but that's a good thing. As you can see, we're pretty much done with the trimming. And we're going to just turn that over there. And now I will put it on the side. You see how much slimmer it is? That piece of pottery is? We take it, and the next step is we dry it. I will put this aside, and for about 2 full days, I will dry it. Sometimes I'll put it out in the sun. Otherwise, I'll just put it on a table, and for about 2 days, it'll take till it's bone dry. You got to wait till it's bone dry, or if you put it in the kiln, it could blow up. And that's the next thing God does. Sometimes He dries us out. Sometimes we go through a period where God seems so far away, we don't even know if He's there anymore. It's hard to pray. It's hard to read your Bible. If you're going through a dry spell, that's all right. That's part of the process. Don't give up. Normally, we learn more in the dry valley with God than we do on the mountaintop with Him. But drying out periodically, you shouldn't be there forever, but having periods of dry spells is part of the process. All right, once it's totally dried, we do the next step. The next step is glazing. Now, here is a little bowl that I made, and it's been sitting for a long time, so it's totally dry and it's ready to glaze. I have to coat this bowl with glaze, because if I don't, it won't be watertight and you can't put water in it. So before I put it in the oven and cook it in the kiln, I have to glaze it. So here's my glaze bucket, and I'm going to cover this cup with glaze. So if I could just kind of show you how I do this, I hold it like this, and I dip it, and I go, and I undip it, and I take the bowl, I turn it back over, and now I take the sponge, and I clean the bottom of it up, get that glaze off the bottom, because if I left it there, it would stick to the bottom of the kiln. And now it is totally covered in clear glaze, and it is ready to go into the kiln. And then that is the next thing God does with us. You and I have to be covered. We have to be coated with the blood of Christ. And here's what I mean by that. Every human on earth will go through Judgment Day. If you stand before God on Judgment Day uncovered with the blood of Christ, He will see all your sin, and He is a holy God, and He will have to damn you to hell. He doesn't want to do that. God loves you. So what He does, if you let Him, He coats you in the blood of Christ. He puts the blood of Christ around you, and so He can't see your sins anymore. And on Judgment Day, He doesn't see your sin, so He can save you. What Jesus did when He died on the cross is He paid the penalty for your sin. He was our substitute. And if you let Him pay the penalty for your sin, then you're fine on Judgment Day. But if you reject Christ, you have to pay for your own sins on Judgment Day. So this is a very important part of the process, is that you let God coat you and cover you in the blood of Christ by trusting in His Son. If you've never done that, you need to pray a prayer and say, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and from now on I trust in Your redeeming blood for the salvation of my soul. All right, this is covered. The next step is firing. We put it into the kiln. Here's my kiln. And I fire this thing up to 2200 degrees. And I take this and I put it down into the kiln. I shut the cover. There's other pieces in there, of course. And then I fire it up to 2200 degrees. Now, that is the next step in the process. I have to fire the kiln just right. If I fire it too hot, then the pieces melt and stick together, and they're all wrecked. If I don't fire it hot enough, the clay doesn't mature, and so it's not watertight, and if you put water in it, it would leak on the table. So I have to fire it at just 2200 degrees, and then everything's just right. And that's the next step here. God knows how hot to turn up your kiln. Christian, if God didn't put you through enough of trials and temptations, you'd never get strong for Him. You'd never develop the Christian character that you need. So sometimes He has to turn it up kind of hot. On the other hand, He won't turn it up too hot, because in 1 Corinthians 10 it says God will never give you more than you can handle. There's no temptation that He won't help you get through. He knew if He turned it up too hot, it would wreck you forever and you'd be lost. So God, in His love, turns it to just the right temperature so that you can mature. It cooks for 12 hours, then it has to cool for 12 hours, and at the end of 24 hours, I open the kiln lid and I take out the finished product. And here is a teapot I made, and it's finished, and it's nice and hard, and it's ready, and it can be used. And that's the very last step in pottery making, is I like to use what I make. And that's the last application that we'll make toward God. The reason God puts you through all this is He wants to use you. He has a purpose for your life and wants to use you for His glory. I was in the hospital last week, and there's a woman who is very much in pain, and she wants to die. And I said to her, that's okay. I said, there are days I want to die. But I said, as long as you're breathing, God has a purpose for you on earth. And yes, you may die soon, and if God takes you home, hallelujah. But you may linger, and while you're lingering, He has a purpose for you. He has a use for you. Well, those are the 10 steps. Let's review them. The first thing you have to do if you want to make a piece of pottery, you have to go and you have to buy the clay. And what we learned is God owns us, the clay, and He can do with us whatever He wills. He has the right to predestine as He likes. Second thing we learned is I have to purpose, what am I going to make? And I decided to make a vase, and so we made a vase today. The third thing I have to do, you remember I had to pound the pottery, the clay, to get it smooth. God has to pound on us to get out of our imperfections sometimes. Fourth thing I did is I took the clay and I centered it. And you need to get right in the middle of God's will. You need to say, Jesus, I want you to rule my life. I do that every day in the morning when I grow up. That's called centering. And then the next step, if you remember, is we started to add the water and to stretch with water. And we taught that the only way you can be stretched into what God wants you to be is by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've never been baptized, you need to get water baptized. And then the next step, after watering it and stretching it, we designed it. We learned that you are unique. There's no one designed quite like you are. And then the next thing we learned is we have to turn it over and trim off all the excess. And the more you let God trim off of you, the more wholeheartedly you get away from things of this world, the better vessel you'll be for His kingdom. And then the next step was drying. We put it to the side and we let it dry. And if you're going through a dry spell spiritually, that doesn't necessarily mean you've left the faith. Getting dried out periodically is part of the process. The next thing we learned was glazing. And we covered and dipped that bowl into the glaze. And if you want to be saved on Judgment Day, you need to be coated and covered in the blood of Christ. That is, let Him pay for your sins and trust His redeeming blood for the forgiveness of your soul. And then the last step is, we put you into the kiln. God cooks you up. He won't put it too hot. He won't put it too cold. It'll be just right for your greatest character development. And then the very last thing is, you will be a vessel, and He will use you while you're on the face of this earth for His glory. Now, one last thing here. Before this camera started rolling, I made a piece of pottery, and I blew it. I made a mistake. And I'm not going to throw this clay away because it's still pliable. What I do is I take the cutoff tool, and I cut it off the bat. I pick it up, and I put it into the old slop bucket. Later, I get a big stirring stick and I stir it all up and it dries out, and then I wedge it, and I can make that thing into a pretty vase, and you'd never know that it was a mistake to begin with. I had a man come into my office this week. He was raised in a Black Baptist church by his grandmother. He's about 40 years old, black man. He has AIDS. He has had a drug problem, and he said to me, you know, I used to know the Lord, but for the last 20 years, I've turned my back on God, and I wonder if I've sinned beyond His grace, and I wonder if there's any hope for me. In other words, he was feeling like this big mistake and wondering if there was any hope for him and God again. And I said to him, are you sorry for what you've done? He said, yes. I said, are you willing to come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, forgive me, take re-control of my life, and I want to get back on your wheel, and I ask you to do whatever you want to get me back to you? And he said, yes. We went to the altar. He confessed his sins. I announced the forgiveness of sins over him. And he reinvited Christ into his life. I said to him, you're going to have to change your friends. Get away from your drug addict friends. You're going to need to start coming to church. Either come to our church or find some church where you can hear the word of God every Sunday. But if you're willing to get back on God's potter's wheel, He's still got a purpose for you. And I said to him, you might live only a year with AIDS now, but God still has a purpose for you while you're breathing. Now, if you're watching this program and you've really blown it, you've really sinned, there is still time for you to come back to God and be saved. But I need to share one final thing with you, and that's what happens once things come out of the kiln. Let me show you this. This was in the kiln, and I heated the kiln too high, and it warped on me. This is another mistake. Now, it looks like a nice, pretty vase, but hello, the bottom blew up because the bottom was too thick. That's why we trimmed these things, and the bottom blew up. And so these two things have been fired. They're hard. I can't throw these back in the slop bucket. I have to throw them away. And that's the other thing the Bible teaches. There are some people in life who get so hard toward God. They hear the gospel 100 times and they just keep saying, "No, Jesus, I'm going to run my life, thank you." And they never turn their life over to Him. God says on Judgment Day there are going to be people who come before Him whose hearts are so hard that He has to throw them away. In fact, He doesn't throw them away. He throws them into the kiln and they never get out. If you're watching this program and you are putting Jesus Christ off, that's the dumbest thing you can do. And you need to come to Him and say, "Lord Jesus, I want You now to forgive me, rule my life, and from now on I follow You."
We hope you enjoyed seeing this old show. It was a long time ago, but the story is still there. So my first question for you today, Pastor Brock, and probably the only one, is where in the Bible does it talk about God being our potter?
Yeah, and I wrote them down on your sheet here. You want to go to Isaiah chapters 29, 45, and 64, then Jeremiah chapter 18, and Romans chapter 9. All of those talk about God being our potter. Yeah.
Are you still doing pottery?
I still make pottery, Jackie, and it goes to missions. It's kind of one of my habits and hobbies. And Jackie, real quick, do I have time? I made this about 20 years ago. I found it at a garage sale. Somebody had a dollar on it. A dollar! But I bought it back to give the illustration that when we buy back things by paying a price, we're redeeming them, and that's what Jesus did for us. So there you go.
So Tom's Pottery is around town in several places.
In garage sales, all over the country.
All over the town in garage sales. Yeah. No, but it is for sale in some places, too. And you do give everything to missions. Yeah. So it is also adorning my mantle, because for all the years that we've been doing this, Tom manages to see that I get a piece every year for Christmas. So we want to thank you for being with us, and we pray that you enjoyed this show today and that you'll join us again next time for the Pastor Study. God bless.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.